I'm Julie Mooney, and this is Teaching Strides, Season 2, Episode 3. Teaching Strides is a podcast series featuring Mount Royal University faculty discussing some of their finest teaching practices. Teaching Strides is recorded and produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Treaty 7 territory, the traditional territories of the Niitsitapi nations, which include the Siitsika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge this place as the traditional lands of the Tsuut'ina Nation, Iyarhi Nakoda Nation, and the Métis Nation, Region 3. In Season 2, our featured guests share stories in teaching and learning, which we hope will inspire faculty colleagues throughout the Academy to engage in reflective thinking and interdisciplinary discussion about teaching and learning. Today we speak with Cowboy Smith about Indigenizing Education, a Blackfoot artist's journey. Cowboy Smith is a filmmaker, writer, radio host, and performing artist from the Piikani and Kainai tribes of the Blackfoot Confederacy. Through his role as the artistic director of the Initsitsi Treaty Arts Society, Cowboy Smith serves as an advisor to the Indigenizing Education Initiative at Mount Royal University. Cowboy is also the founder and curator of Red X Talks and host of the Silent X podcast. Cowboy Smith, welcome to Teaching Strides.
Thank you for having me here.
Let me start by asking you a little bit about how you got to Mount Royal. What was the kind of connection that you made that brought you here?
Well, I used to be a student here many years ago, and I grew up just south of here, right? I grew up near Fort McLeod, Alberta, on the Piikani Reserve, the community down there. And, I think it's really cool, some of the initiatives that are going on here at Mount Royal. I had come in contact with Dr. Liam Haggerty through the Indigenous Studies program. During this Treaty 7 field school a few years ago in a campfire conversation about some of the things we were doing. We were in production for a documentary film called Elder in the Making. And so we were kind of on the same route as the Mount Royal Treaty 7 Field School. We kept bumping into them at different places like Riding on Stone and Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump. And we just had these, you know, conversations about some of the strategies Mount Royal was putting forward. And they really align with a lot of the work that I do in film and theater and arts in general. And we just kept that window open for communication, and we became friends, and I always try to support things that go on here on campus. And it was just, it was an opportunity that we all sort of, it was a no-brainer kind of opportunity to get involved with the initiative, because everything that we do with all the programs we run, including the Red Talks program, all aligned with like creating a stronger sense of both conciliation and reconciliation through, curriculum development, through building discourse on this platform that we have, the speaker series, Red Talks. Red Talks is pretty obvious. I love TED Talks. I've always been a fan of TED Talks. And it only made sense that, we created a platform for Indigenous people to express their ideas in the spirit of oral tradition. There's a thirst, there's a hunger there, not only for just Indigenous youth, but, youth from all walks of life, new Canadians who are, brand new to this part of the world. They want to know more about the history.
And so what is the Indigenizing Education Initiative here at Mount Royal?
Well, we're trying to take on an innovative approach to the whole process. I mean, of course, there's no blueprint for us to look at to make this work. We're all trying to figure out ways to activate elements in the curriculum, elements in the lesson plans. How do we create curriculum for the nursing program? How do we build curriculum for the communications department? I mean, there's so many creative opportunities to explore all of these streams of education. Our group, the Initsitsi Treaty Arts Society, proposed that we have this residency where we bring community members to the residency from Treaty 7 and faculty liaisons, deans and such, and other professors, and start building a community, start having conversations, building relationships. That's where we have to start. That has to be our foundation. Mm-hmm. We're working closely with Liam Haggerty and Jennifer Pettit as well, Jim Zimmer's been a huge, huge supporter of all of this work. He came to the residency as well, and he was very moved by the process. And we all see how much work we have in front of us. It's not going to be easy. I mean, there's so much to explore. I mean, and honestly, I think this is long overdue. I mean, we should have learned these things when we were in elementary school, and I feel like we're way behind on this type of education, and I'm very excited to see that Mount Royal is stepping up in this way.
And you mentioned that you were a student here at Mount Royal. Can you think of a time, or can I invite you maybe to think of a story of your own learning journey that was really impactful for you, that really made a difference, and that points to either teaching methods that were really effective or maybe learning approaches that were really effective?
I really have to give a lot of credit to an English prof who once worked here. His name is Brad Simculette. He's probably had the most significant influence on me in terms of just having a fascination and love for literature, for composition. He actually hired me beyond our class time to work on his website, which is called ineluctable.ca, which was like a movie review website, video games, books. Having that sort of confidence, in me to as just a student, I was a first year student here, and for him to believe in me, I sort of thought outside of the box. I was one of the only Indigenous students studying and pursuing English. And I mean, he was hugely influential for me and in going above and beyond the curriculum that was set forth here for him to work within the institution to actually develop a meaningful friendship, and for him to just give me space to express myself in the unique way I express myself.
Is that where the filmmaker was born in you?
I would say the filmmaker was born when I was just a kid. I mean, I grew up near Fort McLeod, rural situation, no cable TV. We had maybe had one or two channels that were absolutely awful. So I was heavily influenced by films that I saw and had access to by the local video store in Fort McLeod called the Video Cinema. Every weekend I would have the option to rent one or two movies, in exchange for certain chores. And I was definitely a huge cinephile. I loved, adventure movies and all kinds of, crazy, stupid critter movies like The Gremlins and The Ghoulies. I loved all of those things, 80s horror films. But the one film that really stood out for me that changed my perspective on the power of cinema was Spike Lee's Malcolm X, where it was the first time I was able to actually relate to something on screen, where, the Malcolm X story is about his identity. It's about his, why did he change his last name? It's because his last name was lost during the slavery process. His lineage was cut off from him during that colonial process. And I was like, well, where the hell does my name come from? Smith, this is not a traditional Blackfoot name. And that's, as I became a teenager and eventually ended up here, I really started pushing and I added an X to my last name as sort of a symbol of what I don't know. In mathematics, of course, it is a symbol as a variable, the unknown element of your history. So that is a reminder to me every day that I have a lot of work to do still, that, our ancestors sacrificed so much so I could even be here. It's something I take very seriously in everything I do. And of course, there's a number of reasons. There's like 21 inspirations behind my full committal to the X in my last name. It's now legal. I went through the whole process to legalize it. And one of them is also the treaties were signed by the chiefs in 1877 with an X. Now, some people say they never touched the pen. Some people say they did sign the X. It's still up in the air as to what actually happened. But if you look at the treaties where the chiefs are supposed to sign it, they're all X's. And that's also another reminder that we have a responsibility as treaty people. Everyone in Southern Alberta has a responsibility to maintain and uphold what was agreed upon, because if we've inherited all of the privileges of that treaty, we must also inherit all of the responsibilities of that treaty. And it's a process of renewal. It's, the seasons renew every year, and we need to renew our commitment to that treaty, which was a peace treaty. It was not a surrender or a land seizure. It was a peace treaty between two autonomous sovereign entities to come together to build a better life with each other.
Right. And so in today's world, what would peace look like, or what can peace look like between the many peoples? You mentioned newcomers to Canada who have a fascination and a keen interest in learning about Indigenous histories, and the relationships that are being built here at Mount Royal between settler communities and settler professors like myself and Indigenous communities and Indigenous students and faculty and staff. And I wonder, What does it look like to live the peace that was intended in that initial treaty?
Well, definitely you look to nature for answers. And in times of drought and in times of famine even, you see that animals migrate to water. And for us, where is the watering hole for us as Indigenous people trying to remind people of what we're all signed up for? And the water for us, our river, our lake, to quench our thirst, is education. And that's a big reason why we're here at Mount Royal. It's a big reason why we create elements, creative works, films, the Red Talks. We want to educate people, because one of the greatest enemies we have now is no longer an opposing tribe or the military or the crown. The enemy now here is ignorance.
I'd like to ask you if there was any advice that you would have to offer Mount Royal faculty who are interested in engaging with sort of the transformation of our curriculum to an Indigenizing education approach. What kind of advice might you offer us?
I would definitely say continue your own path of education. If you're curious about something, don't be afraid to ask questions. There are elders out there in the community. I know they do bring a lot of resource people from the community on campus here through the student union, through the Inniscum Center, initiatives that we try to bring as the NST Treaty Arts Society. Try to go above and beyond what's in front of you. I mean, there's so much to learn. Like, I'm still learning. I'm immersed in my communities and I'm still learning, and I don't think it'll ever stop. I really encourage faculty and staff here to continue their own investigation and really see that the reality we're faced with here is that Indigenous history and issues, they don't really exist. They live in this kind of weird, metaphorical, fictitious world. Indigenous history is Canadian history. There is no separation. There is no special reserve where Indigenous history and issues sit. I mean, it's about stewardship, and it's about respecting those treaties. It's about maintaining our connection and our responsibility in the lineage of culture and the lineage of renewal with a number of our ceremonies and a number of our initiatives.
A lot of Canadians of European ancestry, especially settlers of European ancestry, who want to engage in reconciliation and like you call it, conciliation, because in some cases there's no reconciliation. We haven't done any conciliation yet. I think many of us might have fears about making the wrong step or saying the wrong thing, or probably fears about revealing our own ignorance. And you've probably encountered that in your work, that sort of reluctant or hesitant kind of white person who's just like wants to do the right thing but isn't sure how.
There's a really funny new term that's floating around, which I love, and that's white fragility. I think that's got to be tucked in, because fragility, to be fragile, is a privilege. I mean, I don't have that opportunity. I'm automatically thrown in to the mix, profiled by the police, automatically stereotyped. I'm a big Native guy with long hair. I scare a lot of people. You know, I walk in a room and people don't expect to have the conversations that they eventually have with me. They already throw me in a very specific category. You know, you look at statistics again in this country, the majority of incarcerated individuals are Aboriginal First Nations people across the board. And I mean, that part of that is systemic, part of that is racism, it's part of that is rooted in the system. But at the same time, you know, like, this is a privilege that we as Indigenous people do not have. We can't be fragile. If you're too fragile, you're chewed up, or you get left behind, or you end up dead. So I say to people who are like worried about, you know, crushing the eggshells on the ground, go ahead and crush them. It's time to grow up. That's what this conversation is about. We can't We can't be tippy-toeing around these situations. There are people going missing. There are pipelines destroying livelihoods. There's resource extraction in this country that's absolutely devastating communities. It's time to grow up for this next generation that's coming up, which is going to be the most educated generation in Canada's history.
Thank you so much, Cowboy Smith.
Iksugapi, thank you. I really appreciate it.
This has been Episode 3 of Teaching Strides, Season 2. Join us next time when Professor Janice Miller-Young shares her story, Reversing Roles for Learner Engagement, Students Assess Their Teacher.
So I decided to go a little bit more creative, and I ended up doing as bad a presentation as possible.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Teaching Strides series on iTunes. Visit us at teachingstrides.ca, where we post guest bios and photos, and where you can sign up for email alerts and our RSS feed. Teaching Strides is a production of the Academic Development Center at Mount Royal University.